Good morning. Greet you in Jesus' name. The message title this morning is Don't Be Fooled. And I have a story that I want to tell, first of all, and then I have 5 points to the message. The inspiration for this message came this past summer. We flew into Spokane, Washington, and traveled I-90 from Spokane, Washington, over to Missoula, Montana. And I saw some road signs as we were traveling that I never saw before. And the signs said, "Don't be fooled, steep grades and sharp curves ahead." And it was a road sign, state road sign, and we're used to kind of, the road signs we see are very factual, and it was almost like this was appealing to emotions, or it was just a little different than road signs we normally see. And there was something about those roads and curves and grades as we were going through those hills that there were huge mountains on either side of us, and it looked like the road was just kind of a puny little thing, and it looked innocent, but somehow the sharp curves and steep hills looked insignificant compared to the mountains around us. And so when I got home, I did a little bit of research, and it turns out that there's some other parts of the country, especially out west, where there's some more signs like this. And as I was doing some research, I came across a story that happened in Colorado in August of 1989 that kind of gave rise to some of those signs. Interstate 70 begins in central Utah and then runs through Colorado, Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and ends up in a park and ride lot just east of I-95 in Baltimore, Maryland. And in Colorado, I-70 connects Grand Junction in the west to Denver, Colorado, in the center part of the state. And as you travel this road from west to east, travel over and around the great Rocky Mountains before coming into Colorado and the plains east of Colorado. And there's a lot of trucks that run this route. And There's just several miles west of Denver, you can start to see the Denver skyline, and something about the geography there just appears like, okay, you're finally out of the mountains and it's clear sailing into the city. But it's deceptive because there's still about 4 miles of steep grades and sharp curves before you arrive to the outskirts of the city. And there's been a lot of serious crashes on this section of interstate, and some of them have been fatal. And a lot of times they've involved semi-trucks that just are not aware of the roads and the dangerous conditions, and they're unable to negotiate the hills and curves. In August 1989, it's 33 and a half years ago, Curtis Woods, a 32-year-old truck driver from San Angelo, Texas, was transporting a semi-load of horses from Rifle, Colorado to Lubbock, Texas. It's about a 12-hour drive. And about 3 hours into this journey, he encountered this stretch of highway. And he was unfamiliar with this section of road, and too late, he realized he was going too fast. And as he tried to negotiate the hills and turns, he realized his brakes were giving out. So here he is, barreling down the hills at breakneck speed, trying to avoid other cars and trucks. And at one point, he whipped out into the passing lane to miss some traffic and helplessly watched as a runaway truck ramp passed by, whizzed by on the right-hand side of the road. Anyhow, he finally got to the point where he simply couldn't miss all the traffic, and he began hitting cars and sending them flying out of the way, and Then there was a final turn that takes you into left-hand turn before you arrive into the city or into Denver. And the account that I read said there were horses, cars, and people flying everywhere. And in the end, 7 people were injured, 2 people were killed, and all 40 horses were either killed or had to be shot. All because Curtis Woods was not aware of the dangerous conditions that he was about to encounter. And he thought he was out of the mountains. He was free and clear. He was just about into Denver, Colorado, and he adjusted his driving accordingly. And there have been many accidents along this stretch of road, as I mentioned before. And now there are signs along that road, and I don't know if you've ever been out through that section of road, but the one sign says, "Truckers, don't be fooled. There's 4 more miles of steep grades and sharp curves." And then a little further down, it says, "Truckers, you are not down yet. Another 1.5 miles of steep grades and sharp curves." And statistics have shown that even though since those signs have been installed, there's been an increase in traffic, there has been a decrease in accidents. And simply because these signs have made people aware of the deceptive aspect of these roads. And it has helped people to avoid accidents. So that got me thinking about how that worked. And I think if only that truck driver with that load of horses would have knew this road and understood the dangers, how differently that story could have ended up. And then I had to think about the deception we face on a spiritual level. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And also in Matthew 24, if you can turn to Matthew 24. In verse 3, the disciples were talking to Jesus, and it said, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Verse 11, it says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Verse 24 says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." We're virtually guaranteed to face deception in our Christian life. And If we can understand that, if we can somehow realize that and be prepared to face that deception, our story can turn out differently than if we're not prepared to face that deception. Just like Curtis Woods, 34 years ago, just as that story could have been different if he would have been prepared, so our stories can be different if we're prepared to face the deception on a spiritual level. What is deception? So deception is believing something to be true when it isn't. It's very simple. I think most of us know that. And the devil knows that most of God's children want to do what's right. And he's not going to get a true Christian to fall unless somehow he can convince them that something is right when it's wrong, or wrong when it's right, if he can deceive them. Satan knows that if he can convince us that wrong is right, we will very likely turn away from the truth. And the devil capitalizes on inexperience or ignorance. And just like Curtis Woods, if he would have driven that section of highway before, and if he would have paid attention before, he would have known that there's that truck ramp there. And as he made his way speeding down the side of that mountain, if he would have known that half a mile, quarter mile up ahead, he would have known that that truck ramp was there. He could have taken advantage of that, but because of his ignorance, he could not do that. So I have 5 points to the message, 5 tips to avoid being deceived. You can turn to John 10. Number one point I have, we must be born again and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The first way to avoid being deceived is we must be born again and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And here in John 10, verse 19 through 24, the Jews were in disagreement here. It says there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" And then in verse 24, the Jews came round about him and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly." And it seemed like these Jews had a back and forth here going on, and they were trying to decide if they were being deceived or not. Who was this person? Was it somebody they could listen to? And then verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And it's a beautiful, beautiful verse, and it clearly portrays that it is only as we give our hearts to the Lord, our shepherd, and it's only as we have a relationship with him that we'll know his voice and we'll experience the assurance of salvation. We'll be able to avoid the scams and deceptions of the stranger. We understand when we hear a stranger's voice that this isn't the same. This isn't my Lord, my Jesus Christ, my shepherd that I have a relationship with. Number one is we must be born again and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Number two, we must recognize deception as a serious danger. And you know, those motorists traveling these sections of interstate, as you read that sign and understand that I need to adjust my driving accordingly, there's some dangerous interstate ahead of me, there's really no problem. It's beautiful. You can look around, see the sights and scenery, and there's not a problem. But it's those that don't recognize the danger and don't adjust their driving accordingly that run into problems and that are at risk. In 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15, Paul warns us that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light and his servants as servants of righteousness. It says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Satan doesn't come in a red suit and a tail with a pitchfork and promising to take us to hell. Of course not. He comes as an angel of light and tries to portray the things that he's offering as good and all right and harmless. And if we are not recognizing the danger that presents, we'll give in to that deception, or we will we will be vulnerable to that deception. Jesus also warned about false prophets in sheep clothing in Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. To avoid this deception, we need to be on the lookout for it. Surely you could recognize something that's a wolf in sheep's clothing, right? That clothing, that wouldn't quite fit right, would it? And as we try the things that we see, and as we look and are presented with truth, are we able to look at it and discern it and understand that there's dangers here, and we have to make sure that what we're hearing is truth. And just because something is accepted by the majority doesn't make it right. Our nation has become more and more accepting of evil, and somehow I think that deception is to move our lines instead of being right here. Maybe they move a little further towards those lines that the world has drawn, and we have to be aware of the danger that is. And it's wise to be a little bit cynical as Christians, as we're presented with things that we don't just accept it and without looking for the truth in that. Number three, we must know, love, and obey the truth. John 8:32 says, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Compare everything to God's word. In Acts 17:11, in talking about the Bereans, it says they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so, and therefore many of them believed. These were men and women that were on the lookout for deception by knowing the truth. 1 John 4:1 calls us to do the same. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. There's so many false teachings and false prophets around us. It's not enough just to know the truth. We have to be committed, and we must love it and obey it. And I think as those of us that know the truth, comes a responsibility to loving and obeying that truth. And I look at those around me, maybe family or friends, that used to espouse some of the same truths of God's word that we do, and have changed dramatically over the years. And it's not in our place to judge people like that, but sometimes I look at that and I truly believe that somewhere in a person's life that's deceived, somewhere they've made a choice to go against what they knew was right. They knew that this is right, and they were confronted with a decision. And they made a decision, and they made a conscious choice that, okay, I know this is right, but I'm going to be over here. And might seem like a little thing at the time, but that makes us vulnerable to the deception of the devil. And young folks, as you live your lives, and just keep that in mind, as you're confronted with truth, if you know what is right and you choose to go against that, you don't know where all that's going to lead to. It's going to open you up to deception that I don't believe any of us truly understand. And as we know, love, and obey the truth, that keeps us safe from deception. It's our safety net in guarding against deception. Number four, we must realize we need each other. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. So here in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul talks about the thief that's coming in the night, and the deception and sudden destruction. Verse 4, he says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they that day should overtake you." Verse 11, he says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." This was a group of believers that realized the dangers they were facing, realized the deception around them, and they were committed to helping each other through it. And they were committed to helping each other in the walk, in the Christian walk. And if we think we can do this journey on our own, we're just fooling ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. And sometimes there's a temptation to, in the struggles we face relating to others, and there can be challenges with that, and there's a struggle to just not appreciate our brothers and sisters as we should, and look at them as somewhat of a burden at times. Maybe I'm telling on myself, but I think the challenge for us today is to realize how much we need each other. And if we're going to be faithful in spotting the deception of the devil, we need somebody, as we're looking this way, we need somebody watching our backs looking that way. And let's remember the verse here in 1 Thessalonians where we edify one another. And I think part of that is just helping each other be on the lookout for deception. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And sometimes it takes our brothers and sisters to recognize that deceitfulness in our heart and say, "You realize what you got going on there in your heart and in your life. You might want to just consider that a little bit. And are we open to that when our brother or sister brings a concern? And on the flip side of that, are we willing to bring some concerns to our brother and sister when we see them and we're like, something just isn't right there. There's something going on. Can I humble myself in love and share with that brother or sister? The stakes are high. And number 5, another tip to avoid being deceived is we must keep our eyes on the goal. Philippians 3. Verses 13 and 14 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." When I read these verses and when I think about keeping our eyes on the goal, I just think about horses with their blinders on. And those blinders are there to help those horses to keep looking straight ahead and avoid the deceptions and distractions over here. And as Christians, we need to keep our eyes focused, our blinders on, so that we can be focused on serving the Lord and not allow the attractive things, the deceptive things of the world out there to distract us from that goal. So just like the motorists along I-70 in Colorado and I-90 in Montana, Idaho, we do well to recognize the dangers of the road we're traveling. And Curtis Woods, in that trucking accident 33 years ago, he made it out alive, actually uninjured. But he was fortunate, and there were others that weren't so fortunate. But just like him and others, if we fail to see the dangers around us and respond to them, we set ourselves up for serious injury or death. And it's my goal that as we go through our lives, that we would recognize the dangers around us and be able to respond accordingly and be faithful in saying no to the deceptions that the devil brings to us. Let's kneel for prayer.